Welcome to the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm Natasha, a licensed sex therapist and certified sex and intimacy coach, on a mission to empower Black women to choose a life of pleasure, not just today, but every day. There is nothing more powerful than a Black woman that authentically owns her pleasure and sensuality. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the gems. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you are new here, welcome. If you are returning, hey. So today is the last episode in our self-love series. I hope that you have enjoyed. You're definitely going to enjoy this episode. Before we get into my guest, I want to talk about today's sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by Organic Lovin', the only adult subscription box to include eco-friendly body products, body-safe adult toys, and sex-positive books. This is not just for partner play. It's not just for sex. You can get some amazing massage oils to add to your daily routine. I love to use the Intimate Earth Massage Oil in vanilla chai with shea butter while my skin is still moist from the shower. The Georgia weather is now starting to get warm, maybe, possibly, I don't know. But my skin does some weird things when the weather changes. So adding this massage oil to my skincare routine has allowed my skin to be very supple, soft, and moisturized. So head over to organiclovin.com. That's organic, L-O-V-E-N.com, and use the code Chantel10 for 10% off your purchase. And that will be in the show notes. So today's guest is Shola Onatiri. She is a certified Reiki practitioner, and she focuses on bringing joy and self-care into our lives. I say our lives because she's joining us today. And not only does she practice energy work, she also sells loose leaf tea and accessories to bring in a full circle mindness practice. And just to throw that out there, Shola is actually my cousin, and it's really exciting to have a family member that is in the wellness space that understands the importance of being mindful, slowing down. Both of us are unlearning the being productive all of the time, coming from really busy corporate worlds. And she's still in the corporate world. So she's doing corporate. She's got her brand. She's got her products. Like, she's doing a lot. And so she is in the process of embodying what it is that she practices for people. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. I loved it. It was great. And I will for sure be having her back. So enjoy. So Shola, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I am super excited to have you as part of my self-love series. And I just want to start off with asking you the question, what does self-love mean to you as a Black woman?
Oh, that's such a great question. I'm so excited to be here as well. Self-love as a Black woman to me and to the people, to like clients and the people I work with, self-love is self-preservation. Mm-hmm. Self-love is what is self-patience. It is, I think we use the word self-respect a lot. We throw that word around. But it's truly a form of like self-preservation. And if you do not love yourself, if you don't have that self-love, it is so hard to exist in a happy and a healthy way. So self-love is really about like your survival instinct, but it's also about your like your joy instinct and your desire instinct as well. And it's being able to have that and hold that and show up in the world with all of those beautiful things.
Ooh, I love all of those words. I love all those words. So what do you do and how do you contribute to the self-love of individuals?
Yeah, so I support women and queer people finding their way to self-love, creating space for self-love with meditation, with energy work, with creating. I'm moving away from routines and moving into creating lifestyles that help support them and help them make steps towards their desires. And so I think that is really important. And I am so blessed to be able to do that as well, because there's so many of us that just really need it.
So how did you get into meditation and energy work? How did that become your thing, this holistic wellness space?
I, similar to a lot of other people, was on this burnout like cycle, this burnout karmic cycle. Like I would jump around and be like, okay, well, if I leave this situation, it'll be better. And then I would get burnt out there. And then I would go to another situation and then I would burn out there. And then I would try to be an entrepreneur, and then I would burn out there. And I would try to be a digital nomad, absolutely burnt out there. And so everything, and this is so true for so many women of color, Black women, it's just we go at 200
Oh, yeah.
all the time, like nonstop all the time. And so one of the biggest things I teach people is the problem will keep presenting itself until you solve it. You will re-enter the cycle. And then the cycle, not only will you re-enter the cycle, it will heighten. It will be more intense because the universe, God, your guides, your ancestors, making space for whatever folks believe, they want you to figure it out. They want you to get out of the cycle. So if you didn't understand that you were in a cycle when it was like the easy version, they're going to escalate it to the expert version and you're going to have to figure it out. And so I let it escalate and I was working 65, 70-hour weeks, 7 days a week. I'm coming from the restaurant industry. And that was not even the first industry that I've been working. I worked that hard in. Previously, I did it with the fashion industry and the PR industry, but my most recent iteration was the restaurant industry, which is nonstop, which I love, but I was just doing it wrong. And so after, at least almost a year of those set working 7 days a week, no time for myself, no time for my family, I just hit a breaking point where everything just felt like a disaster. Everything just felt like a mess. And I had no ba self boundaries for that. I had no internal boundaries. I had no external boundaries. I was just like, well, I just work until I die, I guess. And then I decided that's not it. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. And so that's where I started picking up little things along the way to help build a lifestyle that best supports me.
I love that. My story is, similar to working in a corporate setting and like really being exceptional and really good at what you do and people taking advantage of that and, having that guilt about, but if I pull back, then the people that I'm serving aren't getting what they need, but I'm being taken advantage here, sitting in traffic and having 2 days off really doesn't serve anyone. It just doesn't
Oh my gosh.
me at all
Yes.
because it's winding down on Saturday and the anxiety coming in on Sunday. So, I had the audacity, I would say, to say, I love myself enough to not stay in this situation anymore, which was the scariest thing I have ever done in my life. But what gave you the audacity to say, I'm not doing this anymore, especially because we know that doing something on your own is so much unlearning, especially coming from a corporate background. So how did you transition and give yourself the permission to say, I'm going to do things differently as a labor of love to myself?
Oh, that is literally having chills. I love that you used the word audacity. I've done whole like what feels like TED Talks on audacity and how audacity is a form of self-preservation and therefore an act of self-love. Especially for Black women, like it is audacious for us to not want to be exploited. Like the way that it's set up is for us to be exploited and for us to say, girl, no, I don't want to do that. Is like people look at that and they're like, the audacity of that Black
How
woman.
dare you? How
How
dare
dare
you?
you? We are supposed to
belong to me. Like, yes. In reality, you belong to me. History shows you belong to me. How yes. dare you?
How dare you?
On your own and leave my corporate job and stop making me money.
And that audacity for Black women to not be the person who shoulders all the burden, who does all the emotional work. Mm-hmm. It's your professional life, it's your interpersonal life. Everybody is expecting something mm-hmm. from you for free. Like for zero cents. They're like, you should be, it is your job to do all these things for free. So the mm-hmm. first, the unlearning in my space and in my entrepreneurial pursuits was like, I don't have to go to the extra mile. Mm-hmm. I should add a comma. I should add a zero. I don't need to show up when I don't feel like it. I don't need to do emotional labor for people. My no is a full sentence, right? Like,
yep.
All of those things. And so it's the unlearning is so, like I said, the burnout cycle mm-hmm. that I was in and that I low key kind of fall back into sometimes and then okay. I have to like, you know, get myself straight again is this idea of like, I got to do it. I've always got to be on. It's me. I was journaling and I had this thing of this. I always ask myself, what are the limiting beliefs that are manifesting in my life? And one of them was, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Hello. Yes.
That was it. If you don't work, you don't eat. Mm-hmm. And I had to reexamine that. And deciding to get, because I, God, do I have that? Like that had its claws in me. And so on top of all like the creating and the clients and I do like a bunch of content creating on divine feminine, like balance and everything like that. I also have a small business where I have loose teas paired with meditation practices. And that is just, I don't want to say it's just me because it's like, it's a family endeavor, it's a community endeavor. But every once in a while, I get so like, no, I got to post on Instagram, then I have to do this pop-up and then I have to network at this thing and then I have to try to do this thing. And then for October, I decided, I'm like, I need a break. I'm just going to set it and quit it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my best months in sales, is just setting and quitting. So sometimes you need to give, like, you need to give the manifestation of like letting go of past mm-hmm. paradigms. You need to give it room to actually work. Mm-hmm. And I think we're so afraid to like take our hands off the steering wheel a little bit, take our hands off of it. And so my audacity has been, it is not necessary for me to work all the time in order to eat. I don't have to be in survival mode. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be in scarcity mode. I can just let it rip. I can just let it do what it does, mm-hmm. you know?
I love that because majority of the clients that I have are in that survival mode. And we don't even realize we're in survival mode because it's just one of those things where it's like, well, I mean, I saw my mom and my grandma doing X, Y, and Z. So I just assume that that's the way that we function and that's the way that we do things. And so when I ask my clients, well, why do you do that? If it brings you, you know, if it makes you upset or it hurts you or it exhausts you, why are you doing it? And a lot of times they're not offended, but it's like, Natasha, what am I supposed to do with that question? Like, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, what else am I supposed to be doing? And the fear of, well, what if I tell you that you don't have to do that at all? Mm. But then there's that space of, well, what am I supposed to be doing? Now I'm giving you this clean slate. You know, I'm giving you the permission. And that's really scary because no one is teaching you that you can have a clean slate as a Black woman and that you can do whatever you want to do and you can be successful at whatever you want to do. That's scary. So when you talk about energy and that fear energy and that, like, because now we're triggering our nervous system, right? I'm triggering your fight or flight because you mean to tell me I don't have to do this anymore? That's scary. What do I do? Danger. So when it comes to that energy, how did I move through that? Like, because that's overwhelming.
It is, yeah, it is such a feeling of overwhelm. And I say that the first thing that I do with my clients, this is something that comes up, is to first thank your body, because that fear and that even that self-saboteur, even that, like, all of that, that's your body trying to keep you safe. That's your body trying to be like, oh no, like that is, there is one path, and that path is paved and it has lights on it. And you're trying to bring us through the path that's not paved, that's pitch dark. That girl, we don't know how far it goes. There ain't no map involved. Like, so your body is trying to protect you, right? So I always say, like, first thing, thank your body for trying to protect you. And then tell your body, thank you. I trust, I understand the fear here, but we're doing something else. And just try to get, continually tell your body, we're doing something else. We're trying something else, right? It is not about eliminating the fear. That's not, if you eliminate the fear, you're not human anymore. The fear is going to be there. The doubt is going to be there. And I see a lot of people who are trying to improve themselves have this idea that they need to be high vibe all the time. High vibe, go, like high frequency. Like you're never supposed to be fearful and you're never supposed to be doubtful. No, you are part of self-love is accepting your noble feelings and accepting the fearful, doubtful, petty, all of that stuff. You're supposed to love every single part of yourself, right? So it's forgiving, it's thanking your body. After you're thanking your body, you also have to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. That's a real big one. That's a real big one I'm experiencing when I like slip back into my workaholic ways. Forgive yourself. I am sorry for my scarcity mindset. I understand where it's from, but I'm sorry of the way that it has impacted this body and it's impacted this energy and this soul. I am sorry. And then in that forgiveness, you say, my act of forgiveness is doing the thing that we've been avoiding, is doing the hard work, is doing the inner work. And so once you've done that, the path is clear, right? So I call it shadow and desire work with my clients. So it's doing the shadow work of, what's the fear? What's been holding me back? What are the barriers, both internally and externally? Because we have to talk about the external barriers as well. The idea that that all people don't have barriers, external barriers, is a fallacy, right? That's where kind of that, like, toxic positivity can come from. No, there are external barriers. Let's acknowledge them, right? So you do that shadow work. You thank your body. You forgive your body. You make a pact with your body to go forward in a way that, serves your highest and greatest good. And then the desire work is, okay, so what do I desire? What is the desire under all of that fear, under all of that, like, oh girl, I don't think I can do it. And like, I can't do it because this, and this. And I have so much baggage and I have so much of a past. It's like, nope, we've forgiven ourselves and our act of forgiveness is existing within that desire. And so, and existing within that desire is energy work. It is, you know what? I'm going to make different choices that boost my energy. I'm going to book an energy work class because I know that unless I dedicate this hour to supporting myself, it's not going to get done. Unless I pay for this hour to support myself, it's not getting done. So let me go book a class. Let me do a little bit of yoga. Let me dance in the rain. Let me do a pole dancing class. Let me do something that supports my desires and my energy. So that's kind of the path, and it's a cycle, right? So you're gonna do all of that, and then you're gonna hit that part of the cycle where you have to forgive, you have to thank, forgive, and move on again on it, whether it be the same thing or something else, because there's always going to be something else. And so you got to just get comfortable in that cycle of letting go and existing in your desires and letting go and then existing in your desires.
And not only is it this like always something going to come up, but as we elevate, we come against the same problems or the same situations or the same issues. It just looks different. And so I have a lot of clients that come to me and they're like, I've healed from this. Like, I'm supposed to be done with this. And I have to explain, no, that version of you, you know, healed through that and, you know, was able to get through that. But this version of you is going through it in a different way. You have different coping skills. You have different outlook. You have different behaviors. You will continue to go through this throughout life. It's just going to look a little different. So let's just kind of give ourselves grace in thinking that just because you've dealt with it once means it's never going to come back again, because it'll come back. Something will trigger you, because we don't know what's going to trigger us. Like,
we don't. Nothing.
We just wake up one day and we're triggered and we don't know why.
And so, we try so hard to prepare ourselves for the trigger.
That's that control.
Yeah.
That's that control. So understanding it's going to come back. And like you said, just when you provide your clients with the tools of, let's go through thanking our body, let's forgive ourselves, like, let's go through the circle. You now have the tools, like, you know what to do when it comes up. So instead of getting frustrated, just tap into what's been presented to you and trusting that that's going to work every single time for you. I absolutely love that. Now, do you come up against resistance in that particular modality? Because one, we're not connected to our bodies, whether it be because we just don't like what we see, or, you know, we've experienced trauma, which has made us disconnect from our bodies. And then not being able to forgive ourselves, because of, we just assume that everything has to do with us. And, you know, if we were to control, again, if we were able to control these situations, certain things wouldn't happen. And so, you know, I ask that because for Black women, mind-body connection is so distorted, you know, because we've just literally checked out, and being able to forgive ourselves is hard, because it's like, let me continue to punish myself for this thing, because life is not good, or someone's upset, or my relationship didn't go well, or I lost this job. And so I have to punish myself for it, not realizing that we're constantly being punished for stuff that has nothing to do with us.
Yes, yes, yes.
So adding that on there isn't really necessary. But what do you do when you come up against that resistance?
Honestly, I think that is why I'm such, why energy work is, I think, is so important to me. And so for folks who might not be familiar, you know, I have my certification in Reiki energy work, but I kind of use a bunch of different modalities. Mm-hmm. And so essentially I meet with a client, we get them comfortable, they lay down or they sit up depending on what is most comfortable for them. And I kind of move my hands throughout the body, mm-hmm. and, the person, and I give like guided breath work. I tell them like when to breathe in and when to breathe out, and we set intentions. And for me as the practitioner, I will be like hovering over certain parts of their bodies, and I will feel energy or heat or like a tingling in like a certain part of their body. So I have a client, it's one of my favorite clients, she's so fantastic. She was having there was a lot of energy in like the sacral area. And so I asked her about like, are you creating enough? Like, what are you creating right now? And because before and after the session, I talk with my clients, and she's like, yeah, I just miss creating. I miss doing videos and things like that. And I miss being attached to that, like creativity. Right. And so sometimes having an outside person just kind of like go through your energies. And I tell people this all the time, whether you believe that I'm seeing colors or feeling energy, that's fine. Like you know, the free will is your own. But every once in a while, just having a space to relax, and just, cause a lot of people just like fall asleep. I'm like, cool. Like, I mean, it's a little bit of an expensive nap, but if it serves you, it serves you. But you also get the opportunity. I tell them to come with a journal. We also have the opportunity to talk. So for a lot of Black women, I say, okay, like I'm noticing that there are a lot of energy buildup, like right in the throat. Is there something that you're not expressing? Right. And so that gives them the opportunity to like tune into their bodies, like by proxy, like through me, in which case I can say like, okay, what aren't you saying? And it's like, oh, you know, well, I have been nervous about something. Or I had a client who I, you know, was, I held her hand and I was like, the advice I had for her, like the message I got was like, you need to keep your hands open. You're so used to throwing things in other hands or closing your hand. You need to keep your hands open for things. And so the next time I saw her, she's like, and I was like, oh, when you meditate or when you have your moment to yourself, make sure that you're keeping your hands open, right? And so the next time I saw her, she was like, that was so great, thank you. And then the next time that next session, I was like, you got a lot of energy, but I think you're holding on to it so much because you're afraid that it's going to leave you. Like, don't, like, it's going to come back. Like, you know, be chill about it, right? So I think Black women getting into our bodies, and our bodies are like, I think when you learn more about like history and everything, you learn about how political our bodies are. You learn about how much trauma has been inflicted onto our bodies. And it's so important to honor that and honor that trauma. But then it's also important to start to see your body as both something that is both powerful and divine, as something that requires a lot of balance, and as something that requires a lot of time to tune into. And then once you're able to do that, it's just like, it's off to the races. It's like, I can't take a drink of something without feeling how it affects my body, kind of for better or for worse, right? But it is so energy work and everything like that. And I've been calling it dedicated reflection time. Like, you need that dedicated reflection time to just be like, what's going on? Like, how is it feeling? How is it affecting me? How is my energy leaking? How is my energy building up too much? And it's so possible for us to do, but we do the resistance. Sorry, that was the second part of the question. The resistance is the time, is dedicating the time.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That was exactly what I was going to ask you. Like, when they're not with you, how do you, you know, a lot of times women do like a one and done, like, oh, this was great. And then they go on about their business, either because, you know, I've witnessed, and I don't know for you, it's either time or money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't have the time for that. Or like, I don't have the money. Which it's not that you don't have the money, it's just you don't want to allocate the money to this particular thing to invest in yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
So how do you support your clients through that? Because it's not a one and done. Like, it's not a one and done with me, and it's not a one and done with you. If anything, we just open Pandora's box.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been working with someone long enough to contain everything that's going to come up, you know, because once you start messing around in the sacral, you're getting ready to open up a whole bunch of trauma and feelings. When you start messing around with the heart, you start bringing all this stuff up. And they're like, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm feeling all this stuff. I'm crying all the time. And that was kind of like part of my journey. Like, I went on a retreat and I had an aura cleansing. I had a tuning fork session and I had a fascia release. And I was so emotional, which, you know, as a Black woman was very uncomfortable because, like, I have better things to do than sit around crying for no reason. And when I came home, I felt how uncomfortable my home was and I didn't know what to do with it. Like, I was like, okay, you gave me all this goodness. What am I supposed to do? And so I just literally had to kind of nap it off for a day or two. And I was really slow with, okay, well, how can I start shifting this? But in our minds, it's a real quick one and done. Now I'm going on with my life. So how do you suggest someone that is wanting this support and wanting things to be different as a lifestyle, like long-term we're talking about, what do you suggest with the maintenance?
That is such a great question. And I tell people this all the time. I do not open up anybody's like chakras. I do not do that. I will bring awareness to parts of your body that might be unbalanced. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to go deeper into that, I have like gurus and like, depending on what you believe, you know, I'll send you to who you need to get sent to, because that is serious stuff. That's some, like, that's so serious. That's so serious, you know? So, but I'm like, I will bring you, I will balance it. Mm-hmm. I will give you the space and the time. I tell my clients, hydrate after every session. And I also, like, hydration is very important. But I also give homework. I give so much homework. Mm-hmm. And then I help people create self-care lifestyle, self-care routines. And so, I have that at all sort of like tiers. So mm-hmm. if you just want the worksheet that will help you through it and that you could potentially bring to therapy with you, I've got that for like $10. You can spare $10, right? Mm-hmm. Or I got the like work more in depth with me. But my biggest thing is, before we're leaving here, we need 3 actionable steps of what you can do. If not every day, every week. Mm-hmm. And I'm creating another program on that right now of like, how are you creating space for your desires? How are you creating space for the new person that you are after all of that beautiful shadow work? And also, how are you creating space? The new person that you are is in, or the new person that you are being molded into, that you are molding yourself into. Because it's not I teach self-healing. You're mm-hmm. healing yourself. Your decision to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, they get, you know, what I call like the goddess fix of like, oh, I got the juice. Like, I'm feeling it. Like, yes. Like, I'm going to run out, you know, I'm going to dance under the moon. And like, I feel so mm-hmm. powerful. And then Monday happens and your boss is talking to you crazy. And it's like, and it's just like record scratch. Like, it's done. It's donezo. Right. So I'm like, okay, we need to identify what is going on here. And then we need to identify the steps to take to do something about it. And so it's not going to happen overnight, but after, like, I have the shadow and desire work, and that's like a worksheet or whatever, or we can like talk through it. And then there's also boundary setting.
Oh gosh.
Boundary setting. You need boundaries within, you need boundaries without, you know, you need boundaries outward. So we do that as well. I also will say that for Black women, it is so hard for us to find help because it's so risky to admit that we're wrong.
Yeah.
It's so risky to admit that we're wrong because there's no grace for us when we're wrong.
At all.
It is so punitive when we're wrong. So we don't want to, I mean, we take accountability like nobody does. Mm-hmm. We take accountability for stuff we don't even need to be taken accountability for. We get guilted out as much as more than anybody else. But realizing that it's safe to change, realizing that it's safe mm-hmm. to, you know what, how I was doing this before, it wasn't right. And it's safe for me to say it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's safe for me to say there's stuff in my life I've been normalizing that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And so being able to consistently pick those things out. Ooh, that absolutely not. Like, this person, absolutely not. Okay, so after I do that, how do I create the boundary? Is it a nonverbal boundary? Is it a physical boundary? How do I create a space that feels safe enough for me to address the boundary? What is the exit plan? How am I not just making the boundary, but how am I upholding the boundary?
Right.
That's a big one. I've been talking to a lot of clients that are like, hey girl, we did do the boundary work, but are we upholding it? Are we upholding the boundary?
We keep moving the line in the sand. I tell my clients all the time, mm-hmm. ma'am, we got to stop moving the line in the sand. If you're going to tell me this is the line, let's not move it for whomever,
including no matter what, including, well, maybe I can just, nope. don't go to the cake and take a little frosting. Don't do it. If this mm-hmm. is the boundary, this is the boundary. So that is, boundary work is such a big part of how I have my clients maintain and then maintain their energy. And it's also knowing that they can, the knowledge that they can return back to themselves. They can return back to that, that yummy, delicious goddess energy. You can return back to it. So those are the ways that it can be maintained. And then also preparing them, because every once in a while, you do have the moment where for lack of any other way to put it, shit's just gonna break open.
Yeah.
It's just gonna break open. It's just, there's nothing, even if you're gentle, even if I don't open up every single one of your chakras, it is going to break open because you are seeing the world through a different lens.
Yeah.
You are more sensitive than ever before. Mm-hmm. And it feels very vulnerable and awful and terrible. But it is so useful and it's so important as well.
Mm-hmm. You open up their ability to be aware of the new direction.
Exactly.
The old direction is no longer serving them. So I love that. And I think, you know, the process or the framework is pretty similar. I start with boundaries as well, because without boundaries, what we do is pretty much pointless, only yes. because when you go back to the boundary, you lose everything. You lose it all. It's just like in one ear and out the other, and you're exactly where you started. And even if you don't move light years, the goal is for you to be one step closer to whatever that desire is, and not making that step back. Not to say that if you take a step back, you're doing it wrong. Sometimes yes. that happens, but what we
people,
don't-
yeah. Preparing for like the relapse or whatever is essential. It's like, it is going to happen. I'm also really working on like, how do we get people through like low energy days, yeah. seasonal depression days? Like, let's just be real about the fact that we are real human beings with a human experience. Mm-hmm. But all of that is super important.
This was such a good conversation, Shola. I absolutely love what you do. I understand how important it is. And just hearing you talk about the safety piece, it just, you know, reminds me of why I'm creating this space for Black women, for that safety, right? So it's like, come into this space, let's acknowledge that it's just not working for you, boo, you know, and you don't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to be embarrassed or have guilt. Like, it's okay to come in this space and be like, girl, I was wrong. And, you know, for other women to be like, I know, and it's okay. I've been wrong too. And here's how I've, you know, come back from it. Or here's how I've like nourished myself and babied myself through it. Because that's one of the hardest things, is to be like, I'm wrong. Because no, we don't do that.
We don't do that. And it's also, I also want, like, within the work that I do about the divine feminine, it is not just like the divine feminine energy experience, but it's also about sisterhood. Mm. And oh, I always joke about it being like coven, like witch coven energy, right? Uh-huh. And so some of that coven energy means, this gonna be a spicy take, but some of that's witch coven energy means, you cannot be in the same rooms you used to be.
Yeah.
And that room is called the shade room, okay? You cannot always be on the shade room looking at comments where they're tearing other women apart for making, you know, albeit, you know, not the wisest decisions,
mm-hmm.
not the decisions that, you know, probably bring them to the most joy and the most happiness, mm-hmm. but seeing, being and going to a comment section and seeing like, that girl's an idiot, that girl's a fool, that girl's a clown, that girl, like, she's so this, she's so that. It's like, that's so, if you were starting your healing journey, you need a 30-day cleanse from that. You need a 30-day cleanse from people who lack empathy, from people who are so quick to like bring people down than they are to bring people up. So it's like, it's so, I'm like, what's your environment? Your environment? You can't create something when the environment is bad. You cannot expect a tree to grow if there's no water or if there's no soil and it's just a seed. Like, a seed's just going to be a seed until it's in the environment that it's meant to be in, until it gets enough sunlight. So creating that space, and yeah, there's so much, like, when I do meditation, guided meditations, I tell people, sit in whatever posture, lay down in whatever posture feels good. And also, if you don't feel like closing your eyes, that's okay. Mm-hmm. If you need an additional 10 minutes to get comfortable, we will add the additional 10 minutes to get comfortable, because we are hardwired for burnout. We are hardwired to, like, it's in the middle of the day and you got your eyes closed.
Right.
That used to be like, if your ancestors did that stuff, that would be that there were real consequences.
Absolutely.
To your ancestors having those eyes closed in the middle of the day.
And there's so much work to be done.
Because there's so much work to be done. And you, to a certain degree, until you make the moves to like physically change your DNA, you are going to be afraid. You are not going to connect to having your eyes closed in the middle of the day. You're not going to connect with that. But you should, because naps are great. You should be taking naps. We all need siestas.
I'm a nap queen, but I will say it took a while for me to transition out of that 40-hour week, even working for myself and I didn't have any work to do. It's like, what can I do in these 8 hours? So that is such a good point of being able to close your eyes when the sun is shining in the middle of the day on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. So what do you have going on? How can people reach you to get all this goddess drip?
Well, two ways. Before we started recording, we're talking about social media and everything like that. And so I am doing the work to set myself up for social media to make sense and for me to not, you know, for me to live within my passions. But I'm now Let's Get Going on just about all platforms. That is all of my holistic self-care work. On TikTok, we have this fun thing that we do called the Divine Feminine Movie Club, where we talk about rom-coms and movies and TV shows and the divine feminine wisdom that we can get from that. We also talk a little bit about self-care over there as well. We're starting a new series on makeovers on the 22nd, which is the Lunar New Year. So definitely tune into that. That's a lot of fun. That's just so fun to do. And you get to watch movies, you get to think about movies, and you get to think about like how the wisdom applies to you. I also have a loose tea and guided meditation and breathwork brand that is called Ayoka Apothecary. And that's on Instagram as well. We do a bunch of different loose tea blends that support all of your energy centers, that support taking time to relax. So we have this thing we say that, you know, drink tea with both hands. Get your cell phone out of your hand, get your laptop out of your hand, just drink the tea, relax, do your thing. And so those are the two ways that you can find me. And on iokaapothecary.com is where you can find all of my offerings, where I work with clients, all of the worksheets that I mentioned, the shadow and work and the desire work, the boundary setting work. And then we will be releasing Creating Space for Your Desires. That is coming at the end of the month. It's going to be really fun. I'm really excited to do it. And yeah, I think that's everything.
And all of this will be in the show notes, y'all. So don't fret. She got a lot.
I got a lot going on. Yeah, that's the fun part.
Thank you so much, Shola. I appreciate you so very much. This fed me in a way that I did not realize was going to feed me, this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I love doing this. I love everything that you do. It's fantastic.
I loved every ounce of that interview. I could literally feel Shola's energy as she spoke. I cannot wait for her to join me here in Atlanta. She's supposed to be coming down here. You heard her say it. So that we can serve you with all of this self-care energy. I, again, truly hope that you enjoyed this self-love series and not just listen, but put action behind it. While I will always, always, always appreciate you being a listener, I want you to recognize that this information that I provide on this podcast is for more than just digesting mentally and processing. It is for you to start practicing in your day-to-day life so you can feel better about how you show up in this world for yourself, not just for everyone else. And with that being said, I have a few invitations for you. So I'd love to invite you to my next event, and it's focused on the renewal during the spring equinox. We're going to be decorating some plant pots, drinking some wine, having some sister girl time, and we're going to plant our intentions so that when you're taking care of your plant, you know that you're taking care of your intentions for 2023. I'm also going to drop a link in the show notes along with all of Shola's stuff. So if you want to look her up, she's going to be there as well as her teas. But I'm also going to drop a link for you to give the podcast feedback. I would love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, how you're feeling about what's going on, things that you may want to hear, and also a way for you to just link up with me just so that we can chat, just so that you can let me know how you're feeling, how I can support you some more going further than this particular podcast. All those links are going to be in the show notes. I hope you have an amazing week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Unapologetic Vixen podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you enjoyed this episode, like, leave a comment, and share it with someone you know could use the space. If you're ready to tap into your pleasure, join the Virtual Vixen Suite. It's a safe space for Black women to gain support and empowerment as they access pleasure, intimacy, and satisfying sex every day. And remember, pleasure is your right, boo.